You a new segment today called Summer Reads. As long as the warm days entice us to find a quiet place to settle in with a good book, we can talk about what the book should be. We invited bookstores from around the region to share knowledge with us. We start with Bloomsbury Books in Ashland with Sheila Burns and Becky Gilmer. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
So summer is, why is summer such a different sort of time? Why do we talk about summer reading in a very different sense than we talk about reading the rest of the year?
Well, it's almost like food. You know, your diet changes from the summer to the winter. You don't eat beef bourguignon in July, or I wouldn't anyway. And it's kind of a lighter fare. And just, you know, it's not War and Peace. And the publishers think that too. And they don't publish their big literary novels, don't come out in the summer or the spring. They save those for the fall and the winter and the deep midwinter. So we brought some of our suggestions, and they're all what I would think they're smart, but they're also fun. Good summer reads, great for the airplane and great for the beach.
Becky, what are some of the things that you want to look for in a novel for the summer, or any read for the summer? Doesn't it necessarily have to be a novel?
Absolutely. I think in the summer, I do feel drawn towards those traditional beach reads. When you're done with them, they're filled with sand and or river water. I also tend to look for things that are sort of armchair traveling. So books that will take me around the world or across the country, expose me to places and things I wouldn't see ordinarily, and books that celebrate the outdoors as well in the summer.
All right. So in a sense, some element of vacations that you may not have the time or the money to take yourself.
Exactly.
You take through a book. All right. So what tops either of your lists? Let's go around the room here.
Well, I just finished a book, and it was a great mystery. So, and those are great for the summer anytime, but particularly for the summer. Becky actually recommended to me. It's called Missing Presumed by Susie Steiner. And it's British. It's the physician to the royal family's daughter is missing. And the plot's interesting, and the way they resolve it's interesting. But the characters are wonderful. They have this great inspector called Manon Bradshaw. And she's between solving the case, she's trying to do online dating, which is the worst experience in the world. It's so funny and it's so good. And it's seen through different characters, but they're all looking at the crime and they're all looking at each other. And this was the book where I canceled appointments. I didn't do anything. I thought it's a beautiful day. I should be out hiking. But I stayed on my couch and I finished that book. So it's Missing Presumed, and it's right now it's my favorite mystery.
And you work around books all the time, so I wonder how often that happens, where you can still get so captivated by a book.
It's like, oh, it happens all the time. And then we have all these booksellers at Bloomsbury who are giving us suggestions. So, I don't know, I think we could all just stop and spend our lives with a book.
Probably. Becky, what's the top of your list for the summer?
Well, one book that I really loved was The Bear and the Nightingale by Catherine Arden. It's just out in paperback. It's a debut novel and the start of a series. Vasilisa is a young girl who's born to a magical line, and she is the last line of defense between her village and this unseen evil that's brewing in the woods in this deeply atmospheric work rooted deeply in Russian folklore, which is actually what I love most about it. So while it is an homage to epic fantasy, enough so that, you know, fans of the fantasy genre will love it, it also has roots so heavily set in folklore that it also appeals to folks who are maybe less comfortable in that genre. Really strong heroine, finely detailed world. If you want to curl up on a hot day with a book that's going to send you into a wintry wonderland, this is definitely the one.
The program is called, this is the Jefferson Exchange, obviously, but the segment is called Summer Reads, and we're talking to Becky Gilmer and Sheila Burns at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland about some of their suggestions for great reads for the summer. You want to join the segment and talk about some things you might have read recently that you want to share to discuss with us, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. You were talking to me the other day on the phone, Sheila, about an Irish novel. Oh, that's coming for the fall.
No, it's actually coming next month, I'd love to talk about that. It's one of my favorite books. I almost feel like it's the kind of book that only comes along every few years. It's about 500 pages. It's by John Boyne, who the only other thing I've read of him, he's an Irish writer who wrote The Boy in the Striped Pajamas, which they made a film, and it won several awards. But it is this big, novel. And it starts out
called
The Heart and Its Invisible Furies. And it starts out on the church steps in a little village in Western Ireland. And the 16-year-old girl is being thrown out of the village, thrown out of the church, denounced by the priest who has fathered two children of his own. And the way only the hypocrisy of the Catholic Church at that time in Ireland. And he goes to Dublin, where he is adopted by these parents who are so hysterically funny. The scenes reminded me of Evelyn Waugh. And the father is just this kind of upper-class twit who keeps reminding Cyril, the protagonist of the novel, the child from this unwanted pregnancy, that you are adopted. You are not an Avery. And the mother becomes a famous writer, and she's such a snob. She's just appalled that the masses are reading her book. But anyway, it takes place from his lifetime, from 1945 to the present. He's gay, so you're going to really hear about the repression of Ireland. And it's like reading Dickens. It's just a wonderful, wonderful read. And I think Random House is expecting it to be their book for the fall, too. But it'll be out in a couple of weeks.
Books with sort of scandalous sub-themes tend to work a little better for the summer? Becky's smiling.
I think so. I think the temperature rises and we're all looking for maybe something that's a little scintillating, or, you know, goodness knows we all have our own struggles in life. And in the summer, we're certainly looking for something that's going to distract us from that especially. So.
Sheila talked about not reading Tolstoy in the summer. You don't want to read War and Peace. I mean, there's certain authors you stay away from in the summer. I mean, I'm thinking in terms of music, too. Like, I tend to listen to Procol Harum in the winter. It's heavier stuff, you know?
I don't know that I'm deliberately staying away from things simply because it's summer and I feel it's too heavy. But I certainly agree that my mood results in reading certain things. And I might read Tolstoy in the summer if... You know, I felt inclined. I haven't thus far. if that answers your question.
Sure. Let's go a little further down your list. What else would you like to let people know about?
Oh, so many things. So many things. One of my special pets for the last little bit has been Marrow Island by an author, Alexis Smith, up in Portland. This is her second novel, and it actually won a Lammy this year, a Lambda Award for bisexual fiction. But I love the opening line of this book, which is, "I forgive them for trying to kill me." if that doesn't grab
yeah.
you. And it is sort of eco-thriller in a way, an eco-dystopia, but it does suspense really well. So an earthquake sort of destroyed Lucy's idyllic childhood life on this island in the remote Pacific Northwest. And years later, she receives a letter from her childhood friend that piques her journalist's interest and her heart and draws her back to the island for the first time since the earthquake, where a colony has risen from the rubble. And it's slowly revealed the truth about the colony with Lucy on the island, and then another narration of Lucy off of the island. Very suspenseful, and just honors the earth as well.
Were you drawn to the book by the fact that it had themes that are certainly relevant to our time and place in history?
Always, always. But I was also drawn to the book because I'm a previous fan of Smith's writing from her first novella. But absolutely, I am a fan of eco-driven fiction because it is so important.
Grab your headphones. We've got a call coming up, and I want to ask Chu about, since you work in the business, though, I mean, what kinds of things are going obviously you have publishers' reps and stuff coming in all the time to say, you know, these are the books we're featuring for this next period of time. But I mean, what draws you as consumers to a book, aside from, you know, the things you have to do as people who work in a bookstore? I'm just curious to know what will draw your attention to a book and say, and, you know, to make you go, okay, I'm going to read the first paragraph or so.
Usually a recommendation from the publisher, and sometimes they're just absolutely wrong. They'll push something that's just the next Gone Girl. I think I've mm-hmm. heard that so many times. But sometimes they get – I'm just going to mention a quote, and this is what drew me to this book. It's called The Gentleman from Moscow. Mm-hmm. And I was sent to it, what the editor said, this is a book in which the cruelties of the age can't begin to erase the glories of real human connection and the memories it leaves behind. And I think I was feeling the cruelties of the age when I picked up Gentleman from Moscow, which is also timely because it's a lot of Russian history. It always stays on the bottom of the bestseller list. It's been there for a year, and it's such a great distraction. But you learn a lot. You learn a lot about Stalin and Khrushchev, and it's a man who was sentenced for writing a poem that was he was tried by a Bolshevik tribunal and sentenced to a hotel, a life imprisonment across from the Kremlin. So his figuring out a man who's never worked a day in his life, how to be human and how to connect with people, along with a lot of really fascinating Russian history. So we pick them because they're kind of presented to us. And every now and then I'll pick up a local author and I can be just absolutely blown away by the quality of the work. We have about three or four of – we have hundreds of local authors. There are three or four right now who are getting some national attention and they absolutely deserve it.
And I think you've sent most of them to us to talk to as well.
Thank you.
So we appreciate that. So,
thank you.
Bloomsbury Books is where you can find Sheila Burns and Becky Gilmer most of the time. They're joining us for our Summer Reads segment. This is the debut version of that segment. You can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Alex in Ashland. Welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning. Yeah, well, one that I highly recommend is called Sometimes Brilliant. I think it had a subtitle, Sometimes Not, by Larry Brilliant. It's nonfiction. Now, parts of it are so amazing, you would think this must be fiction. It's, on one level, it's a story of the wiping out of smallpox, which was far more complicated than I imagined, and I have a medical background. It was easy to wipe out in the West. You just vaccinated everyone. That wasn't practical in India and Bangladesh, where the population grew so fast. You couldn't, didn't have the resources to do that. Incredibly complicated. But there's also interwoven a spiritual story about this guy getting involved with the guru of Ram Dass, who sent this improbable guy to say, you're going to work for the UN and you're going to wipe out smallpox. And it's one of the very few books I couldn't put down. Summer read or winter read. Mm-hmm. Recommend it too much.
All right. Thanks for that, Alex. Appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
How many books do either of you keep going at one time? So, Becky, I hear that you read a lot, so I just wonder if there's always a whole bunch of books in circulation on your shelf.
That is absolutely correct. I am usually reading more than one book at a time, and I do try to read more than one genre at a time because, again, mood comes into it. If I pick something up and I'm not in the right mood for it, I definitely want something ready to go.
For a book that is not the kind that's going to make you cancel appointments, as you were talking about, Sheila, what marks the end of it? It's like, well, I have to be someplace right now, and so off I go. Or I mean, do you get tired of a book? I mean, I wonder if even a book you like.
I do get tired of books, and I have talked to people, book lovers, who all the time say, "I had to finish the book. If I start it, I have to finish it." And I can't imagine doing that. There are a lot of books I put down because I live in a candy store and there's always something else I'm going to like better.
I wonder, so we talked about the things that you two are interested in. I wonder what people are clamoring for. What's the book that people are asking for the most this summer so far?
Hillbilly Elegy would be, it's a political book. Mm-hmm. And
you have the author on the air, J.D. Vance, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He has been on NPR, a lot of publicity. I still recommend reading it. It explains class divisions and why they're there and why we like to think they're not. And I grew up in Appalachia, so I know it.
Okay, let's take another call from Oid in Ashland. Welcome to this Jefferson Exchange.
Morning.
Hi.
Am I on the air?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. The most enjoyable book of my whole life. I've read it recently. It's called Inside. Her last name is Conrad. Mm-hmm. It's about the traveling solo in a sea kayak from Washington State to Alaska.
Oh, yes, yes. We had her on the exchange.
Along the Inside Passage.
Mm-hmm. All right, thanks.
Fabulous.
For that. Yeah, it's a wonderful book. So, in fact, she also did a reading at Bloomsbury, didn't she?
She did, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Before we go, why don't you give folks the website so they know where to find you online?
BloomsburyAshland.com.
Mm-hmm. BloomsburyAshland.com.
Yes, yes.
And you're right on the main drag in Ashland. Yes. At the corner of, is that 2nd Street?
We're between 1st and 2nd, 290 mm-hmm. East Main. Yes.
All right. Well, good to have you both here. Becky Gilmer and Sheila Burns from Bloomsbury Books in Ashland helping us debut our summer read segment. Thanks for the input.